This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk a lot about socializing on this show, a lot about our social batteries. Sometimes we need more socializing. Sometimes we feel absolutely drained. Well, if you feel spread too thin, therapy can really help. A therapist can help you learn positive coping skills, how to set boundaries. Therapy empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've had, you know, serious trauma. We can all benefit from therapy. Sarah, you and I love therapy.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/happierinHollywood today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/happierinHollywood. I'm looking for pictures of us on set. We don't really take pictures of ourselves, but I have a cute one of you and Violet.
Well, I just feel like I always look so bad on set. I don't want my picture taken.
I know. It's true.
But I will say next show, I think that's going to be a goal, to like look decent on set.
Okay. Does that mean I have to also, or can just you look decent?
Well, you might want to keep up, Sarah.
Oh, okay. Hi, and welcome to Happier in Hollywood, the podcast about how to be happier, healthier, saner, more creative, more successful, and more productive in a backbiting, superficial, chaotic, unpredictable, fundamentally insane world. I'm Sarah Fain, a TV writer and producer living in Ojai right outside of LA, and with me is my high school friend and writing partner, Liz.
That's me, Liz Craft. On this podcast, we talk about being writers in Hollywood, how we balance a career and friendship, and how to survive the war of attrition that is life in Los Angeles.
In today's episode, we're going to take a deep dive into a very important part of our job and the job of any TV writer, being on set. This is our very special on-set episode.
Yes. It is something every new TV writer gets anxious about, and sometimes not new TV writers as well. And we also have some set Hollywood hacks and a book recommendation.
But first, Liz, I have an update. I went to the dentist yesterday. I had my teeth cleaned, and I talked on this podcast about my water pick toothbrush water flosser thing combination. It is the most wonderful thing, and I had the best teeth cleaning I've ever had. My dental hygienist was very happy. It was just amazing, so I just want everyone to know these things are great. They really work.
Yes. Sarah, did you tell her you'd been using this device?
I did. And she was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you told me, because I would have thought you were just, you know, she doesn't remember every single person who comes in. She's like, I would have thought you just were one of my regular clients who flosses all the time and has amazing gums.
So, all right. Well, you know, Sarah, I'm always concerned with these matters. So that is great to hear.
Yes, you should get one.
I need to get one. I do. Okay, so let's get into it. Let's talk about being on set. So first of all, why are we there as writers? Why are we on set when they're shooting an episode?
The big picture reason is you're there to make sure that the showrunner's vision for the show, for the episode, is being executed. That's the main thing. And then you're also there to be a resource for the actors and the director, and for props, and for set deck, really for everyone. But the primary thing is just to make sure what's getting shot, what's going to be on the screen, is what the showrunner is looking for.
Yes, and that involves, as you said, all of those elements. It involves the sort of emotional intention of a scene. I think that's probably the biggest thing. It involves making sure that the props are what everyone thinks they should be, that the wardrobe is right if it hasn't been pre-approved, which often it has. And you're also there to sort of be a fix-it person on the fly, which we'll get into a little bit more, but that's another reason you're there. And by the way, Sarah, you may have written the episode. You may not have written the episode. Many times the person on set is not the person who wrote the episode for whatever reason. Either way, the job is the same.
Exactly.
You're there to support the vision, whether you've written the script or not.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to talk first about how to prepare for being on set, all the things you need to do before you're on set for shooting. And the main one is to go to as many meetings as possible, right? You want to be on set feeling confident and like you're fully informed. You want everything to go smoothly and everything to be as productive as possible. So the best way to do that is to be in all the prep meetings. There's a meeting called the concept meeting, which is early in prep where everybody kind of talks about, you go through the script and quickly talk about things. You want to be in casting if you can be in casting. The production meeting is really important. The big one is the tone meeting. Liz, do you want to talk about what the tone meeting is?
Yeah. So the tone meeting is when the director and the showrunner, usually, and we like to also include the editor of the episode, go through the script page by page, really scene by scene.
Line by line sometimes.
Sometimes line by line, and discuss the intention of every scene. Or the showrunner might say, we want to make sure we really hit this emotional moment. Or this line should be a throwaway. Don't emphasize that too much. So that the director really knows what is being looked for. Also, it's a last chance for the director to ask the showrunner questions about intention or maybe discuss an idea they have for a scene that is a little out of the box. And the tone meeting is so useful for everyone. As a writer, what's great is that you get the idea of what the showrunner is looking for. So you should take your own notes so that you have in mind what the showrunner is looking for, because it could be different from what you think. So it's really good to pay attention to that. Now, these meetings can be varying lengths. They could be an hour. They could be 8 hours. We have been in 8-hour tone meetings. So they really vary, but you just want to absolutely make sure you're there.
And part of why you're also going to these meetings is developing a relationship with the director. Maybe it's a director you've worked with before and you have a shorthand and that's fantastic, but most of the time it's a director you don't know, you haven't worked with. So you just want to be able to spend time with them, chat with them, get to know them. So when you're on set, you have a good, positive relationship. Prep is also the time to talk to the director about how they want to communicate on set, because directors can be very different about this. Some people don't want you to approach them, but they will turn around and look at you. So there's always an opportunity to have a discussion. Some people want you to come to them. It's all very different. So if you have that conversation in advance, you'll escape any miscommunication on set.
Yes. And we'll talk more about this when we talk about what to do during shooting. And then another thing to do before the shooting starts is to find out what the showrunner expects from you. Because again, everybody's different. How much free rein do you have to make on-the-fly decisions about a rewrite? Often an actor might say, this isn't quite working for me. Can we change this sentence? Many showrunners are totally fine with that as long as the intention remains the same. I mean, we're fine with the writer making that call. Other people, however, want it word for word. I mean, there's a couple people who are famous for that. Aaron Sorkin is famous for that. Amy Sherman-Palladino is known for that. So that's a question, because you can get in a lot of hot water if you, don't do what the showrunner wants. And then the showrunner might also say, hey, if there's any question on set, call me and ask. Other showrunners say, hey, you're there, you're on the ground, you're seeing what's happening, you make the call. Often that might depend on the level of the person who's on set. So obviously, if you have someone who's been on set 100 times, they're going to have more autonomy than a staff writer who maybe has literally never been on a set before. So that varies, but also, it varies with the showrunner. So finding that out is key. Now, If it is hard to get the showrunner's attention to ask these questions, which is quite possible, go to the number two and ask the number two what's expected, and they will know.
Yes. And then to the same point, if you are someone who hasn't been on set before or hasn't been on set on this particular show, try to visit set with another writer before it's your turn. Just, it's almost like a shadowing thing. Even just a day would be enough. A few hours would be enough, but the more the better. But where you can really follow them around, see how they interact with people, get to know who the people are on set. Just try to get in there before all the pressure is actually on you.
Now, this is obviously difficult if the show shoots in Vancouver or Atlanta and your room is in LA. But if you're lucky enough to work in LA and have your room in LA, or like, for instance, on the first season of Fantasy Island, we had several weeks of a writer's room in Puerto Rico, and we were shooting in Puerto Rico. It really is such an advantage. And a lot of times, like when we were shooting on the Disney lot and had our room on the Disney lot, writers would just go over after work for a couple of hours and hang out on set and get to know people and get to know the actors and all of the crew. And it's really useful.
And some shows, and if this isn't part of the show you're on, bring it up. See if it's possible. Some shows will fly the next writer up a little bit early so they can actually be on set with a more experienced writer and have, you know, it's just a 2 or 3 days. It's a little more expensive, yes, but it's really worth it.
Yes. Okay, so those are all the things you can do before your time comes to actually be on set. And coming up, we will talk about what to do once shooting actually starts. But first, this break.
Okay, Liz, here's some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, multiple systems, delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs, you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, and you improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors.
Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hollywood. NetSuite.com/Hollywood. NetSuite.com/Hollywood.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Liz, we are back talking about what to do when you are a writer or a writer-producer covering set. This is a big one. Put your phone on silent.
Yes, you do not want to be the person whose phone rings in the middle of shooting. It is the worst feeling in the world. Now, Sarah, I live in fear because I have a glucose monitor. So I have a 24/7 wireless glucose monitor, and it will go off if my blood sugar is too low. And I have not ever been able to figure out how to keep that from happening. They probably don't want you to be able to keep it from happening.
Right.
Because, of course, it's very dangerous if your blood sugar is very low. But for that reason, I actually tend to keep my blood sugar higher when we're shooting, because I so don't want that to happen that I want to have a big cushion between me and that monitor beeping and ruining a shot.
Yes, it's literally a moment where if your phone goes off or your glucose monitor goes off, suddenly hundreds, literally hundreds of people are turning to look at you with hatred.
It's a horrible feeling. It is a horrible feeling. Okay, so the next thing is be there for rehearsals. So Sarah, let's explain what a rehearsal actually is.
Okay, so a rehearsal is before you start shooting. The first one at the beginning of the day is really before actors are even in hair and makeup. It's like kind of the first thing you do once actors are near set is they come in, the director and the actors will first do a private rehearsal, it's called. You are allowed in the private rehearsal as a writer or a writer-producer, which is just kind of standing together, reading the scene, having a conversation about it, and then putting the scene on its feet, where everyone kind of goes through where they're going to stand, the emotion of the scene, and they block the scene. So once you're ready to shoot, everybody knows what they're doing. And once they've done the private rehearsal, then they invite like the heads of departments in also to see the rehearsal. So they know like, this is what we need to light. This is where people are going to be standing. The sound crew knows where the booms can go and all of that kind of stuff. So it's a process and it takes a while. And you want to make sure you're there for the very first one. And then you want to make sure you're on set all the way through the martini.
Yes. Let me explain. The martini shot is the last shot of the day, called a martini shot because the idea is after this shot, everyone can go have a martini. And everyone is always so happy when it's time for the martini. They're like, it's martini, it's martini. The word spreads through set. The penultimate shot is called the Abbey, named for Abby Singer, who was a production manager. So you've got the Abbey and then the martini and then you go home or back to your hotel room.
Okay, and then the other humongous thing during the course of the day is stay out of the way of the work. So during rehearsals, that means staying against the wall as the rehearsal gets more worked out and the scene takes shape. People know where they're going to be. You might have to move to a different wall, but you just want to be out of the way. And then once the crew is getting the lights up and getting the sound set, you just want to be not in the middle of that so people can do their work without having to do it walking around you.
So you can get people very irritated if they have to keep saying like on your left or watch out, heads up. You just want to be out of the way.
And it can be confusing. I mean, a set is a very active, busy place. And sometimes it's hard to tell where out of the way is. Just know that's okay. You'll figure it out. It gets easier over time. And it's best to just find that spot out of
yes.
the way.
And you want to give feedback at the right time. And only to the director. Now, this is hard. You don't want to give your feedback too soon, and you don't want to give it too late. And this is like an art, I would say, as opposed to a science. So there's a couple of big places to give a director feedback. I mean, there's all the meetings you have, but then once you're on set, you can give them feedback at the time of the rehearsal and then at the time of shooting a scene. So a lot of times it's helpful to give them feedback either at some point during the rehearsal process or just after because they're not set in what they're doing yet. So let's say the actors go through and are doing a scene and you sort of get an idea of how emotionally they're going to be handling the scene. If you think they're not exactly on target or that the director doesn't have an exact idea of how the scene should go, you could just say to the director, hey, I just want to make sure in this scene we get the idea that this person is really thinking about their dad, despite what they're saying. And the director will go, oh, great, okay, and make a note of it. You don't want to sort of step in and interrupt everybody like, hey, 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 guys, this isn't how we want it to be. You know,
it's better.
Hard. Yeah, it's hard.
And the other thing that you sometimes might have to give feedback on is blocking, the blocking of a scene. Not
yes.
very often, but sometimes it does happen that the blocking of a scene for whatever reason totally undercuts the emotion of what's supposed to be happening or the logic of what's supposed to be happening. Again, usually that doesn't happen, but if it does happen, you want to try and get in a little bit sooner because
yes.
they'll have to redo the whole scene in a way. So that's not fun being in the position where you have to go in and be like, I'm sorry, this is not working at all. And it doesn't happen often, but it is why you're there. So if you have to do it, you got to just take the hit.
Yes, and you absolutely want to get that done before the crew comes in and everyone sees what the blocking is, because then that's just completely wasted time. And wasting time on a set is the absolute worst thing you can do, because every minute costs a fortune.
And then there's giving feedback while shooting is happening. And again, you don't want to give feedback right after the first take, because things are still evolving. You want to let people find their performance and see how they're connecting with other actors and like kind of get into it. But the problem is you also have to do it before they're done with their coverage. There's this window of like, okay, I don't want to do it too soon, but I also don't want the director to be like, moving on. So you have to kind of gauge where you think shooting is. Are we going to do more takes or not?
Again, over time, this becomes a lot more natural and instinctive, but it can be very stressful when you haven't done it a lot. And then, Sarah, this might seem obvious, but remember to be friendly. A set can be a very intimidating environment, but everyone will appreciate you being friendly, smiling, saying good morning, knowing people's names, knowing what their jobs are, asking how their night was. Just being friendly goes a long way to becoming a part of the environment and becoming more comfortable.
So, Liz, let's talk about what a script supervisor is, what that job is. The script supervisor has a gigantic three-ring binder. Most people, I think, now are doing it on some kind of tablet, but where they keep everything. They're in charge of making sure continuity is correct. They're in charge of making sure everyone is shot from every angle, masters, mediums, close-up, everything they keep track of. It's honestly a job that would blow my mind if I had to do it. Like most jobs in the world, I'm like, I could probably figure out how to do that okay. I could not do this job. It's incredibly detailed, overwhelming to me. But if you're good at it, you're just like the most valuable person in the world.
Yeah, so you have to be paying such close attention for like 15 hours at a time. It's nuts. Often script supervisors go on to be great directors too, because they have just all that ability. But if there's a line that an actor keeps flubbing over and over, you can get the script supervisor to go whisper in their ear the right line. They'll keep track of takes that you particularly like. They'll circle the take to make sure the editor sees it. There's a lot a script supervisor could do to make the process smooth.
Yes. And then there are the hurdles with directors. Now, we want to say this doesn't come up a lot because most directors are incredibly collaborative and it's really fun to work with them and create something great. But there is a small number of directors who really just don't want to deal with you.
Yes. And that can be really hard because directors, you know, usually have a lot of charisma and know how to take command of a set. That's why they're there. And so they're very good at sort of icing you out. But it is your job not to be iced out. So there are some things they do that if you're aware of, it's easier to counteract. So one of the things that directors do is that they take handheld monitors and they stay on set rather than in Video Village. Video Village is traditionally where the writer, the director, and the DP all are sitting, along with any executives or executive producers who happen to be there. But if a director is on set with a handheld monitor, it's much harder to communicate with them. And sometimes they need to do that, and sometimes they do it just so they won't have to hear from you.
Yes. And then another thing that, again, a very small group of directors will do, not a lot, is they'll have a very close conversation with an actor in the middle of a set. So they'll finish a shot or be waiting to start a scene after a rehearsal. And instead of making themselves available where you can talk to them, they'll just like stay on set and like have a whispering conversation that's very intense with an actor.
They also might jump out of their chair very quickly before you can say anything. And so you have to literally like run after them if you want to give a note.
You have to launch yourself just like they did.
And I've had it happen, Sarah, I think maybe you have too, where they do that. So then you track them down to give a note, and then they make a huge deal out of it. Like, oh, Liz has a note. Everybody stop. The writers have a note. Stop. Everybody, we have to wait for the writer to give our note. And I know it sounds like I'm being overly dramatic, but I am not. That has actually happened to us.
Yes, it has. It's always humiliating, but it has happened.
Now, if all this happens, Sarah, you have to just stand your ground. That's why you're there again. So one thing is you can have like a first AD with their walkie-talkie say, hey, Liz has a note for the director. That's a way, if they're on set, to get their attention, because they always hear that. You can, again, follow them. You can say you want to come stand with them on set. They don't like that a lot of times, but you could do it.
The vast majority of directors we've worked with are just like delightful and brilliant and wonderful. But I think especially for younger writers, there is a tendency to try and dismiss them. So like, this wouldn't happen to us at this stage in our career. It's just not going to happen. But if you are new on set, it could happen to you. So just be ready.
Be aware. And if it's really a huge problem that you just can't deal with, then let someone know, whether it's the showrunner or the number two, let someone know this is happening. Okay, then Sarah, another thing we've learned to do while being on set is to be as flexible as possible. So we used to think it was our job to fight for every little thing and have every little word in the script, everything that, you know, we had talked about. Now we're much more flexible. We get that everybody wants their voice to be heard. Everybody wants to have an opinion. Everybody wants to make decisions, and everybody should have that ability. So it's important that we all feel like it's a collaboration.
Yes. The vast majority of things aren't going to move the needle. They just aren't. So most of them let them go. Now, the hard thing is when you do think something is going to move the needle, and it will be disruptive to set. And in those situations, you just have to do it anyway.
Yes. And that is probably the hardest time on set, is when that happens, especially if it's something that's going to cost money.
Yes.
The one thing nobody wants on a set is to spend more money. So that is tricky. And again, that is something that is going to take time to kind of learn how to deal with, when to step in, when to insist, when to go up the ladder. I mean, sometimes you might have to go up to, you know, the studio to get permission to go overtime on something or spend more. But sometimes you have to do it. And sometimes you might get a no.
Right. To give a solid example of this, this happened to us very early in our career. We were story editors on a show covering set, and a set was just totally wrong. The whole point of the scene that it was a really luxurious place, that everyone was having this really fabulous dinner, and the set looked kind of like maybe a picnic. I mean, it just really wasn't right. And we called the showrunner. We were, again, story editors. This was not something we could make any kind of stand on without his support. So we called him. He called the UPM. It was a whole thing. We did have to move the order of scenes shooting, and they did have to make the set better. And it was my birthday, and they canceled my birthday. So
yes,
that might happen.
Yes, you might get your birthday cake canceled, but it's all for the good of the show.
Yes.
All right. Well, Sarah, this is something, I mean, we could talk about all day, but this is a taste of what to do on set. And coming up, we've got some set Hollywood hacks, but first this break.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Okay, Sarah, we're back with some set Hollywood hacks. We'll try to run through these quickly. one hack, wear layers. Sets can get very cold to very hot. The temperature can vary greatly. Wear layers.
Second, rain pants. I think we've talked about rain pants before, but have some ready to go before you have to go on set. You may be in Vancouver where it rains on and off nonstop. You may be in LA where all of a sudden it's going to rain for 4 days and no one knew it was coming. Just have the rain pants available, because what you don't want is to be on a night shoot in the rain outside with no rain pants.
Yes, and wet pants.
We say that from experience.
Yes. Another thing I say from experience, don't get started with craft services. Sets are known for their amazing craft services. Bring your own snacks, because you can easily go down a road of lots of chocolate, lots of donuts, chips, everything. Sarah, as I said, I speak from experience. We shot a pilot in Vancouver. The last night we had a cast dinner and my pants split during the dinner because I had gained so much weight during the shoot from craft services and from the nachos at the Sutton Hotel. But it does happen. Your pants will split.
Yes. Sorry, I forgot about that. That's very funny. Have a brightly colored bag, because you're going to be moving all around set. You're going to put it on your chair, but then they'll move your chair. So you're like, where's my bag? Where's my chair? Just have a really brightly colored bag so you can always track it down. And then finally, we have said this before. We'll say it again. We'll say it till the end of time. Hokas. The first people on set to start wearing Hokas, by the way, were script supervisors. I remember the first pair I saw. And again, they know what they're doing. So wear Hokas.
All right. And finally, Sarah, we have a book recommendation this week. This is actually a book we've talked about before. We interviewed the author, Jeff Melvoin, who's a seasoned showrunner. He has written a book called Running the Show, Television from the Inside. And, you know, it talks about all aspects of running a show. Super useful, super practical. Want to recommend that in case anybody missed it last time.
And that is it for this special episode of Happier in Hollywood. Email us or send us a voice memo to happierinhollywood@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please follow us if you haven't already.
Thank you to our executive producer, Chuck Reed, and everyone at Sancola Sound. You can follow them on Instagram at Sancola Sound.
Thanks to everyone at Odyssey. And as always, thank you to Gretchen Rubin. Happier in Hollywood is part of the Onward Project.
Listen to the other Onward Project podcasts, Happier with Gretchen Rubin and Side Hustle School.
Get in touch. I'm on Instagram and Threads at S Fain, and Liz is at Liz Craft. We also have a Facebook group. Search for Happier in Hollywood on Facebook to join in on the conversation.
Until next week, I'm Liz Craft.
And I'm Sarah Fain. Thanks for joining us. It's a fun job.
And we enjoy it.
Liz, I feel like we're still working out our trauma from like the two or three hard directors we've worked with.
I know. Luckily, we've had so many good ones since then.
Yes.
And it's been a long time since we've butted heads with a director.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
From the Onward Project.